2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 16. This is the reading of God's word. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. We pray that you will grant us an ear to hear. Otherwise, it will like just like non-Christian coming here and hearing with one ear and all that goes out the other ear. But Father, when you work in us, then your word will bless us, cause us to be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. It will cause our faith to grow. Oh, Father, we pray that you will bless your people who are hearing your word, that we may, in your word, meet your Son, Jesus Christ, and have fellowship with him. And let us be happy, for we hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are the temple of the living God. Last time we focused our attention to the word we. And we will do the same one more time today to finish up chapter 6 and start chapter 7 next time we look at 2 Corinthians. We are the temple of God. Not just I, but we. We are being fitted together and being built together into a dwelling of God, into a holy temple of God. The biblical answers to questions like, who am I and what is my purpose, must be in terms of the fact that we are being fitted together and being built together. Just like I, apart from Jesus Christ, do not exist if I am a Christian, I, apart from my brothers and sisters in Christ, do not exist any longer. And if you think that you exist apart from your brothers and sisters in Christ, then your thought is not according to the Bible. In Christ, we are all united together. And this is our eternal reality of our salvation. There is no such thing as an individual Christianity, like so many Americans. They're so used to think in individual terms that even when it comes to Christianity, they will understand it in individual terms. It is unbiblical to think in terms of just I, me, and myself. This false trinity, I, me, and myself. We have become one body of Christ. Romans 12, verse 5, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Now, When you hear that, that we are one body of Christ, what does that say to you? It says so much. In fact, I would like to stay with this topic for, you know, forever, actually. But I realize that, you know, every Friday we meet after we finish Shorter Catechism, we're going to go into the doctrine of church. And so that Fridays, I will have many opportunities to talk about this. So I will end this topic today and go on to chapter 7 next time. But when you hear that, we are one body of Christ, what does it say? By becoming one body, how close are we to one another? Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, or one body. Of course, that Genesis verse is pointing to the relationship between Christ and his church, but from it, we get the sense of how close we have become being one body of Christ. Do you understand? You and I have become one body of Christ. How close are we? What is our relationship? According to our knowledge in this world, nothing shows the closeness more than this, being one body. Being one spirit with our Lord Jesus Christ, we have become one body in Him. Jesus is our head and we are His body. That is what the Bible teaches. Very important, we are the body of Christ, but remember, there is only one body. And God's purpose, and thus it is our purpose, is to build up this body of Jesus Christ. What is a life that is worthy? You might have all kinds of different ideas of what kind of life is worthy. It is my desire that after this message that you will understand that if whatever you do, if it is not in terms of building up this body of Jesus Christ, then your life is not worthy. I don't care what you do and how this world thinks that your life is so worthy. According to the Bible, our purpose is to build up this body. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and well, all the way to 16. And God gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. You know, God gave us all these people for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Everything that happens. And the purpose is to build up this body, the body of Christ. The purpose for us is then building up of this body, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God's temple. Your main job. See, this is always the problem. You know, the world tells you who you are also. You know, world tells you you are a doctor or you are a pharmacist, or you are a nurse, or whatever. And you hear what the world says to you, and you come to a conclusion, okay, what is my purpose? And you will understand that purpose in terms of what world tells you who you are. So you will always think your purpose in terms of being a doctor, or being whatever in this world. But you never remember what God has made you to be. You are first the priest, royal priest in the temple of God. And you must live your life as such. You are son of God. You are a bride of God. You are citizens of the other world. But you never think about this purpose of yours in terms of what God has done for you. It's always in terms of what the world says who you are. And when you do that, you're not living the life that is worthy according to the Bible. Maybe worthy according to the world. Yes, world will say, whoa, you did something so meaningful. But seriously, when Jesus returns, when heaven is revealed to us, all those things that you might value will be completely destroyed and completely be gone. We don't need doctors in heaven. We don't need anything in heaven. Do we need like computers in heaven? So whatever you think that great thing that you have done, inventing computer. Sorry, we don't need that in heaven. You're thinking in terms of this world, recognizing according to the flesh. You are valuable because of Christ and what He has done, not because of what you do or what you might do in the future. That's why people get so conceited, because they think there's something because of what they have done. And the only thing they have done is what? Sin? Your value is in Jesus Christ. And you must think everything in terms of what Jesus has done and what He has accomplished. Not what you will do in this world. That's why, you know, America, it is so amazing, because, man, we have more than anybody else in the world, man. We have everything in this country, and yet we are the most unhappy people in the world. There's no satisfaction. People are not happy at all. Because they're seeking that happiness in this world, not in Christ. I'm happy because of Christ, because of what he has done, not because what I have or what I'll be doing tomorrow or whatever. I will do all those for his glory, yes, and with happiness I'll do them, but that doesn't determine who I am. What determines who I am is what Jesus has done, what he has accomplished. And I'm not so impressed about your accomplishments. I really don't care. I don't care what college you go or what kind of job you have. Or long as you live with all the necessity things in life, that's fine. And I'm not against you excel in a worldly business or occupation. No, if God calls you to be the doctor, then be the best doctor you could be. But your value is not in terms of that. And this is what we need to understand. Everything that God does right now is to build up this body of Christ. That's why the whole history is flowing until this body is complete. And when it is complete, Jesus comes and history is no longer. History goes on so that this body can be built up. You really need to see history in terms of what God does. The world will deceive you. History, you learn history of America. Yes, that is history, but there's the true history. The worldly people will not see. It's God's working. And his focus, it's all about building up the body of Christ. God's design is this. In building up this body then, God's design is that we need one another. I cannot build this body all by myself, and you cannot either. It's God's design that we work together because we are together. We're one body. God gives us his grace and pours on us his blessings and all for building up of his body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Did you hear that? He might give all kinds of blessings to all kinds of people, whether it's in material things or spiritual things. He pours out his grace to his people. You might have more in some areas and less in other areas, but we all receive God's blessing. Why? We receive all that for the common good. Common good, in other words, for his body. In other words, for his church. Our focus is not self, but the body of Christ. And when we get to chapter 8, we have plenty of opportunity to talk about, you know, why does God bless us, even with the material things? What's the purpose? Why he gives us money? And we'll learn that in chapter 8. But here, you already have the general answer. It is for his church. We are not living for our own interests, but the interests of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Sharing. All the blessings that we have received from God, we are to share with one another for the common good, for the good of the body of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. We are saved together to form the body of Christ, the one body. We are called together to build up this body. In order for all of us to obey this calling, we need one another. No, not even one cannot be omitted. We all need, all of us. Because if you are a Christian and you are not included, then the body of Christ is not perfect. We all need one another. And how are we to edify one another to build up this body? That should be our focus. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 through 26, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. When you look at my body, nothing to really look at, but there is no division. Think about it. If there's a division, then what happens to my body? Then it's dead. And no conflict in my body. When you look at my body, my heart, my arm, whatever that you're looking at, all parts are helping one another so that my whole body will grow as a healthy body. It's working together. That is why God gave us this example of body. He could, well, he does show a church in terms of many different images, but here, the body. And it's a good image, a good example, because look at the body, how it's working together. I mean, if a heart says, I'm not working with anything, then what? So if you live your life in terms of yourself, just your earthly family, that is what you're doing. Like heart saying, no, I don't want to work with any other part of the body. Then what? That is not God's desire. That is not God's design. And you must realize this. There is no individual Christianity. We must do our best to edify one another. What you do matters to us, the others. It's not your life anymore. Your life belongs with all of us. It belongs to Christ. And that's what Paul, he's looking at this Corinthian church and things are not going well according to the Bible. So he's agonizing. And that's what happens. As a pastor, I look at some of you and your whole life is in terms of just you. It's so selfish life. There's agony in my heart. And it might be so easy for me to say, oh, who cares, forget it. But what Bible tells me is that that you, every one of you, are part of the body of Christ. I cannot just forget it. Oh, as a sinful man, there are many times I wish I could just forget it. But I can't. Well, unless you are not a member, then, you know, I don't have authority over you. But if you are a member, then I cannot forget what happens to you. That's why I bring the message. Listen to what God says. We are one body. If there is conflict, if there is division, then my body will get sick. Even if one part is sick, then the whole body is not healthy. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And my question to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, did you ever suffer for the sufferings of other brothers and sisters in this church? Do you lose some sleep because of sufferings of your brothers and sisters in Christ? Or there's no space in your mind for any other people other than you and your earthly family? But Bible clearly says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if you're not suffering because of other person's suffering, is it because you're not a member of that body? Or what is the reason why you're not suffering? Or is it your sin? Well, it's time to repent. If one member is honored, then the whole body rejoices with it. The whole body of Christ is honored. Many parts, but one body. The focus is not at a part of the body, but the focus is always at the whole body, Jesus' body. Individual parts, their differences are disappearing as the focus is on the whole body. Only our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? We are being fitted together, being built together as his body so that we can together witness Jesus Christ ultimately. If we put, let's say, one individual as a, you know, the piece of puzzle, and if we put every Christian ever lived and, you know, will be, if we put everybody together, and it will be the perfect form of Christ's body, it will be witnessing of Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. It's not to shine as an individual. The achievements that you accomplish in this world shine just the little part of that whole body. No, the whole focus is shine as the whole body. It is not just me being a part of Jesus' body, but it is all about Jesus' body. The whole body of Christ. The focus is not us or me. Focus is always Jesus. We exist for the whole. And this is very important concept you must understand. We exist for the body of Christ. I give you an example. I don't know. House. There's a house. And I example that I have here is a house. And then, you know, it's made up of many parts. And then let's say there's a nail somewhere. Nail. Holding the parts together. Nail. Now, nail is important. But a nail cannot say, I'm a house. I mean, everybody will laugh at that nail if a nail comes out and say, I'm a house. Well, it is a part of house, but it's not house all by himself. Now, example is not perfect example because, you know, there is sense that even as you individual is the temple of God and also a body, but the ultimate concept that Bible teaches is that we are together to form one body. Yes, a nail has to do its duty in order for the whole house to be a well-built house. But the focus is not on a nail, but focus is always on the whole house. So you do everything you are able to do for the body of Christ, but focus will be never on you. And that is your actual desire as a Christian. You know, I time to time, you know what I hate in the world? Well, we could stay here 10 million years if I tell you what I hate in this world. But one of them is biographies. You know, telling me how wonderful this person was or is or how awesome he is and all that things that he did. Just wonderful. Hate that. Because Bible says, let your right hand not know what your left hand is doing. And I don't know how we get to find out so many things that person has done. If he was following the Bible, we should not know anything that he has done. But in the world, you know, because it's about individual, biographies are very popular. But only example you need is Jesus Christ. You don't need how other people lived or whatever because it was all God's grace anyway. Yeah. But for us, it's not about writing our individual biographies, but it is about witnessing Jesus Christ so that at the end, with all the things we have done, all of us, at the end, nobody remembers anything about what we did or who we are, but only Jesus Christ remains. That is our desire. And I think, you know, many times, like these people who are in heaven, and I'm sure they're not going to think about what is going on earth. You know, they're just having too much great time with Jesus Christ. Why would they even think about this life here on earth anyway? But if they were looking and see what we're doing, they were probably so embarrassed if somebody is saying all these good things about him. You know, he's looking and said, he probably said, don't talk to me. Don't talk about me. It's not about me. Please, you know, I'm embarrassed. I mean, if he is really in heaven, I don't think he wants us to talk about him. He wants us to talk about Christ. I'm sure nobody's going to write a biography for me, but yeah, even if somebody think of, no. See, it's not about us. It's about the body of Christ. It's about Christ. Now we are the body of Christ. And when you read, I remember we started 2 Corinthians by going to Acts chapter 9. Do you remember how Paul was converted? And here's Paul, and at that time he was Saul. His name changed to Paul. And that's pretty interesting because Saul means what? Means he's big. Paul means he's small. Isn't that interesting? He becomes Christian and he's now small. Because it's not about him. But when he was Saul, before his conversion, he was going around and killing Christians. And he did that thinking that that was for the glory of God. Obviously, he was not a Christian. He didn't understand. But he was going around killing Christians. And Jesus comes to him and meets the Saul. And this is what he says. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Jesus says. Isn't that interesting? Saul never met Jesus. So why is Jesus questioning Saul, why do you persecute me? First Corinthians chapter 8 verse 12, and so by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Do you see it? To persecute us, the body of Christ, is to persecute Jesus Christ. To hate Christian is to hate Jesus Christ. To sin against Christian is to sin against Christ. Thus, we cannot hate our brothers and sisters in Christ. To do so is to hate Jesus Christ himself. This is how close we are. We cannot even hate one another, because to do so is to hate Christ himself. That is what the Bible teaches. We must love one another, because to do so is to love Christ. Keep telling myself I'm going to make it shorter and shorter. I'm really trying. I'm serious. I'm not joking. And I don't know why I'm trying, but I am. We are the one body of Christ. We are being fitted together perfectly. God has made all of us perfect fit in Christ. We talked about this last time. We must believe that reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us. He does not say to us, be the one body of Christ. No, he doesn't say that. He says that we are the body, one body of Christ. That is big difference. If he tells us, do your best to be one body, then forget it. We're not going to do it. We can't do it. You're not able and I'm not able. But what Jesus tells us is that you are already one body. Jesus already done this. He finished this work. He made us one body. Question is, do you believe it or you don't? It's always about your faith. Very, very important. You and I, we are not trying our best so that we may be one body. No. We are already. Jesus has accomplished this already. And all those people who believe, they are part of this body. If they don't believe, then they're not a believer. Well, if they're not a believer, then they are not part of this body. Because it's about believing. We have fellowship with Christ, and thus we have fellowship with one another. Communion of saints. Do you believe in that? Communion of saints? Even when you and I are apart, we have communion in Jesus Christ. That is our spiritual reality. We are one. Even physically apart, we are still one. Man, I'm stuck on you and you're stuck on me, whether you like it or not. That's what God has done, and I'm happy that we are stuck together. Do you understand that this fellowship is already our reality in Christ? Whether we witness its reality well or not, if not, then that is our sin. It is our heavenly reality that is already accomplished for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read you again, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You and I, and I hope you realize this, you and I, we have so much in common. We are bound together. We do have partnership and fellowship and harmony and agreement. We have so much in common. We have Jesus Christ in common. That is everything to us. Worshiping together. What does this say to the whole world? Worshiping together. We witness that there are no enemies among us. We witness that there is perfect partnership, fellowship, harmony, and agreement as we worship together. Because God says in Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, meaning today's language, if you are going to worship, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. What it says in today's language is if you are about to worship and you remember there's some conflict between you and brother or sisters in Christ, you don't just continue to worship, because that kind of worship God will not receive. You have to go to that person and take care of it. Then come back and worship God. Anybody, you know, worshiping together, sitting one place and hating the other person who is sitting at other person, that kind of worship, you're mocking God, He's not going to receive it. Which means, I believe that you're obeying God, which means that we are worshiping together. This means, at least, we don't have anything against one another. Because if you do, then you have to take care of it before you worship. As we worship, we witness that there is perfect harmony and agreement among us. Christianity, let me conclude. It is not about perfecting our individual character and behavior. So many people think Christianity in terms of worldly morals. It's about becoming a better person. It's not. Of course, you will be a better person because you become Christian. But better person, not in the worldly standards. Actually, Jesus was hated by the world. There are so many people who wanted to kill Jesus, and I don't think they look at Jesus saying, oh, he's a good person. I don't think so. So just because the world says you're good doesn't mean you are really good. World says good to so many people who went to hell. And that is not what good is all about. It's not about building, perfecting your individual character and behavior. It is about building the body of Christ. It is not about my success in this world, but a heavenly success for the whole body of Christ. Everything is in terms of the whole body of Christ. Even the heavenly morals as a part. What did I do for the whole body? That should determine whether you are living a good life or not. See, you're asking in a wrong way. Am I living a good life? And you're determining whether you're living a good life in terms of what the world says. But the question you must ask is, what did I do for the body of Christ? That should determine whether you are living a good life or not. Because I don't care how you think that you're living a good life. It's not for the building up of the body of Christ. Then what are you doing? Then it's all for you. It is not about you living a superior moral life according to this world. What do you do for the whole body of Christ? How are you beneficial to the whole body of Christ? Good life is always in terms of the whole body of Christ. We must do everything in terms of building up this body of Christ. And as we finish, let us remind ourselves, this one thing, this body of Christ in this world is the body that suffers. And Paul has been telling us about all these things, so I'm not going to repeat. But God comforts us, comforts this body with his word. Let us live our lives in terms of building up the body of Christ to witness our eternal heavenly reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us. Brothers and sisters, let us have our focus on the body of Christ. And whatever you do out there, connect it with the body of Christ. Do those things in terms of building the body of Christ. Even making money. Building up of this body, as you know, doing this church needs money. And I'm not saying, you know, that's the only place you could use your money in a God-honoring way. No. But think about this. Everything that you do, even you studying at school, whatever that you learn, you will use to build up this body. The people that you meet, the things that you talk to other people, whatever you do, build this body, the body of Christ, which you are a part of. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love for your body, for us. And we pray that by your grace, we'll love your body also. Oh, Heavenly Father, let us do everything in terms of building up of this body of Christ. For that is how you do everything. That is your work. Let us participate in your work that we may bring glory and honor to you. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.